Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Jeffy, are you eating the microphone?
What?
No. Okay, let's try to normalize everybody, please.
Normalize, stabilize.
Here we go.
I'm stable.
I am stable too. And here it comes. Hey, if you need a needle drop, ask for it. But if you don't, let's just roll.
Yeah, because I'm not going to be that good at it.
Okay. That's right. Kevin's going to be terrible at it.
Terrible? Right, you just jumped straight.
Wait,
I went straight to terrible.
Why'd you just say
terrible?
So sorry.
There are some notches between not that good and terrible.
And you're joining us in the middle of Dad Band Land special episode. I like that. Special episode number 9, we're calling this number 9.
Number nine. I get that.
Yeah,
that's a
you get that
nine.
Reference. Yeah. All right, so it's DBL special episode number 9.
George Harrison song from Cloud 9, right?
Yes.
No,
yes.
It's not, and this is not that same show, so that joke won't have as much resonance.
Oh, right. Cloud 9 comedy always has resonance.
Always
all right, well, this is a special episode because I guess we're taking the week off or something. We're banking this one. Jeffy Brannion, let's introduce us in order. I'm Adam Felber, I'm your host.
I'm Kevin Burke, your co-host.
I'm Jeffy Brannion, your triple host.
And he's all the way over in Woodland Hills, joining us via Zoom. And
hello. Woodland Hills.
Hello, I am Brian Frank.
All right,
you are what you are. You're like
real life
John
band
Colodner.
Manager Brian Frank.
He is what he is.
John Colodner. John Colodner.
And what we have in common tonight, apparently, is phlegm. It's a cold night in L.A., and some of us are recently getting over colds.
What are you talking about?
And I've recently discovered that, like, you know, colds that are non-COVID do exist nowadays.
Sure.
As do lingering coughs. Hmm. And I've had a lingering cough for about a week now. I'm not sick anymore, but I still have a cough. And that makes you, when you're out on the streets, a pariah. I am pariah Carey here.
You know what? It might have been like that before you got a cold.
No, people would walk next to me
I've
happily.
I've seen people walking near you.
Well, certainly during the Black Plague, people were coughing. It was like,
I mean, it was the cold.
I'm
going to shun him
with a capital S.
It's totally the cold, Adam. I'm kidding. People like to walk by you.
Okay, that's just mean. Hey, but you know what's nice? You, our listeners, we love you. I love you more than I love Kevin.
Oh.
And this is, they're nicer to me.
I'm getting back to you on that terrible DJing comment
earlier on. Right.
Revenge.
Don't worry, we'll edit that out,
promise. Oh, no, I'll just look like an asshole. Thanks, buddy.
Or will we? So here's what happened. We covered this topic the other day on the show, and we loved it so much we thought, let's throw this open to our listeners. Maybe they'd be interested, too.
Maybe or two would be interested. What ended up happening?
I said, okay, name a song that absolutely blew your mind. I just did it on Twitter, not on any of our other socials, that blew your mind the first time you heard it. Like, your next thought was, whatever this is, I need more. And I thought we'd get maybe a few that we could fill up an episode with. We got, oh my God, we got, how many responses did we get? Over 100.
Yeah.
I think a bajillion.
153 responses.
And that's the responses. They listed like 5 songs in
response. And everybody had a few that blew their minds. And
yeah, it's a lot. It was a lot to sift through, but it was all good.
Yeah, and I've seen some patterns emerging, the kind of things that blow people's minds, kind of like, you know, they have some patterns, they have some, we'll talk about the commonality.
Absolutely.
Let's just dig right in. Who wants to start? Reading our listener responses to what songs blew your mind.
All right.
I'll start. This is low-hanging fruit for me. Thank you, Bike Mark. At Bike Mark said, Scarlet Begonias Into Fire on the Mountain Live by the Grateful Dead.
Wow.
I understood 2 of those words.
Yes, I have seen begonias.
I knew you would.
So is there something about that cut?
And why that cut in particular?
So, here's the thing is what they did was Scarlet Begonias Into Fire on the Mountain Live. So what that is those are 2 songs that are played one into the next.
Oh, I think
it's
we
like
got
a
that.
Jam, right?
Yeah.
I didn't get that.
That's why I'm looking at Kevin.
Now that I got it, I was better when I didn't get it. I feel like.
So that's the thing about the Grateful Dead, how they, you know, would put songs into other songs, and there are some scorching versions of these 2 together as an epic period of the band.
The reason I ask is I know so little about them. Yeah. Like, was that like a single, a particular thing, or just happened to be one song that someone
caught?
It's
like those two together is like a thing. They really jammed them. Yeah.
That's incredible.
Wow, that's a good one. Well, thank you. I might go listen to that at some point.
Where do we even find that?
What I'd say is, if you're searching on your internet music machines, check out the Grateful Dead live at Cornell University, 1977.
Okay.
All right. I'm going to throw one out now, and what I'm going to do is because I tweeted this from my personal account too. A lot of my friends had answers, so I'm going to feature them because you guys probably didn't pick them, and I'm going to pick my friends. Here we go.
How about
my friend Sean Masterson? Really good comedy writer and comic. You might remember him from Whose Line Is It Anyway? Mm-hmm. He writes, and this just interested me because I understand this one. More Than a Feeling by Boston.
Mm.
The way that guy, Tom Scholz, recorded guitars and recorded voices. I mean, he's such a gearhead, and he created a sound that I think was kind of unlike any other sound that was around at that time, but it was very much in line with the sort of thing that was developing. Plus, that voice is that singer's voice is huge.
Yeah, I mean, just hearing you say that, I feel my Marianne walking away.
I know. That stuff sparkles and screams. And so, I think that's one of the keys to a mind blower. It's like a voice you've never heard before or a way of making sound that you've never heard before. That song, even though it's just a single from the 70s, totally agree on that one.
That's a good one.
An 80s version of that for me is something posted by Lisa H. It's L-E-I-S-A, so I hope I'm saying the name right, at Lisa1326. And she listed Radio Free Europe by R.E.M.
Oh, yeah.
Which everything about it, the sound of it, the sound of the band, the sound of his voice, the subject matter, when I was young, I was like, what? Like, this isn't We Built the City. Like, this isn't The Heat Is On. Like, this is something fucking crazy weird. Like, I don't even know what Radio Free Europe is, but I feel like I'm on uncharted territory. Give me more of this.
Yes.
Whatever this
absolutely.
Is.
Absolutely. That's a great one. Absolutely. Yeah. And again, his voice.
Oh, his voice.
Just like nobody else's.
Yeah, and just, again, the subject matter being so, as far as I could tell, was just obtuse. I couldn't even figure out what was going on.
Even he stopped being that obtuse over time. He was the band wants me to sing songs about something.
Which only made it intriguing, more intriguing, because I had never heard music that was that distant.
Great one. Thank you. Jeffy Brannion, read one out.
Yeah, well, I was going to, there's so many, but Dan, DRCCDS, talks about Eyes Without a Face by Billy Idol. And I have to say, as someone who left the U.S. and then came back to the U.S. in late 1983, this kind of blew my mind too. Eyes Without a Face, Billy Idol.
Yeah.
That's a good song.
But the guitar riff is kind of crazy. It's a really different kind of song.
Yeah.
And a very slow tempo. And Billy Idol was just like White Wedding Man. And then this thing
He was the Generation X guy, like the punk kid who was making this weird punk pop guitar rock thing.
Kind of before punk pop guitar rock was a thing.
It's its own thing.
That sort of thing would come to dominate the 90s in a slightly different set of clothes.
Version of it. Yeah. No, I think
that's a good one. All right, let's keep going.
All right, I got one from a band we talked about once or twice, maybe. Just a Victim of Black Cat Gravity at N9DS_15 says Trilogy by Emerson, Lake, and Palmer.
ELP.
I'm always gonna, if somebody brings it up, I will take that one. I can't believe Adam, with all your keyboardness.
Yeah.
Not into ELP.
We should get into that at some point.
Into why you don't like ELP? It's not
ELP. It's that I've never gone heavily into prog rock. It's despite the fact that it's very keyboard heavy, it's never been my jam.
It's funny because this is kind of why when we were talking about how we got into music, I wanted to know because you had that player piano that was like a ghost played music. Because
yes, we had an electrified player piano in our basement, which was the instrument I learned to play on.
Right. And so I'm a guitar player who learned in the 80s. So naturally, you know, it's all the Van Halens and stuff. I long assumed, I've known you for a decade or so now, that you're in the keyboard. Why? Of course you wanted to be Richard Wakeman or whatever that guy, Rick Wakeman. you wanted Rick to do prog rock, because why else wouldn't you want to do that?
No, right?
Adam,
he wanted to
Adam,
be Scott
I have
Joplin.
Two words for you.
No, I didn't want to be Scott Joplin either.
I have two
I did
words
like Scott
for
Joplin.
You, Adam.
Yes.
Porcupine Tree.
Well, thank you for those two words, Jeffy. Now, wow, okay. And I just, will file. Wow. I don't know what that is.
I don't know what that is either.
It's I feel that you need to listen to, Mother.
You see, I guess I've always been about the groove.
No, I don't love prog rock either, I gotta say. But prog rock was such a.
Then maybe you haven't listened to Porcupine Tree either.
Let me remove the maybe from that statement. But prog rock is so present because it's like it's thrown in with classic rock. So you hear Jimi Hendrix, and then you hear Rush, and so everyone assumes you like prog rock if you like rock. But I'm never that deep into it. I don't have any Yes records. I don't have any EOP records. I'm with you on that.
Yeah. Well, maybe we need to rectify that. Maybe one of our Brian House of Wax records in an upcoming episode.
Now. Now it's time to get into prog rock. We're going to get progressive in our rock.
Yeah, all right. Let me do another one. Here's one. Hey, I've told you guys about how I went to London when I was a student, spent about 6 months there. The dude Mitchell. Who was there before me, who had me, he said, I have a room in my flat that you could move into, so you should come. And I moved in with this dude. He was an actor from Tufts with me. And there was another dude in the apartment there who just happened to be at the program, who was also an actor. Mm-hmm. Well, 35, 40 years later, whatever it is, now it's probably more like 30 years later, those two dudes are on a TV show together. It's called Billions. And they were and the three of us were in this flat in London together. The one I didn't know when I moved in, and I'm friends with him now, his name is Kelly O'Coin. He's terrific. He plays Dollar Bill on Billions. If you ever see it, he suggested like four or five songs. I want to read the first one because a lot of people went there. By the way, hi, Kelly. He suggested Rosalita.
Oh, by Bruce Springsteen
and the E Street Band. Great song. Lots of people suggested Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band from that period, sort of the 1973 to 78 period. That band had a sound.
I would say I knew Bruce Springsteen because I got into him later, so I didn't hear Rosalita until after I was already a fan. But if I was forced to pick my favorite Bruce Springsteen song, it might be that song.
That one hits with force.
Yeah, and the band sounds so good. Everything about that. And you think the song's going to be over, and it gets even bigger and better.
They take it up. Yeah, Clarence Clemens steps up, and they just take it up a notch. Yeah. It's fantastic.
What a great song.
Yeah, and there is something about the E Street Band of that period. I could see how that blew
minds.
And
I'd imagine if that was the first Springsteen you heard, how that would really just be mind-blowing.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Can I jump in and mention something that Jude Hanna replied to you?
Okay.
Mr. Yes. Felber?
To me?
Yes. The
Jude Hanna, super fan Jude Hanna, who had many answers
Jude
for this.
Jude Hanna.
Yeah.
Cowboy Junkies, Sweet Jane, the Lou Reed cover.
Huh.
Oh yeah, I know that. I mean, I know Sweet Jane. That's pretty mind blowing.
That whole album, Trinity Session, was kind of one. It was one of the first CDs I ever got, and I knew the sort of lo-fi recording situation. They recorded in a church, I think, and it was fascinating to me. So I'm glad to have someone bring that back.
Thank you, Jude.
Well, let me add to that because Rich Duncan.
I was going to bring him up because he's a great friend of mine, a comedian.
Oh,
Rich
he?
Duncan.
Okay,
yes.
Well, he brought up Heroin by the Velvet Underground, and that's the first Velvet Underground song I ever heard, and I was mesmerized. Like I would play it on loop. I was stunned by it. I mean, I've never done heroin, probably because the song scared the shit out of me as a kid. But it also was like What band makes music like this? What record company releases music like this? I needed to know more about it. It blew my mind. I needed to know more about the Velvet Underground because it just was just mind-blowing that it existed. And that song in particular was my gateway,
The first Velvet Underground song that I became super aware of was Stephanie Says. It also hit me super hard, and I needed to hear the rest of, you know, where that came from.
Yeah, there's obviously a very particular sound that a lot of great musicians wanted to find more about. And I had that experience. I mean, they were already long broken up when I discovered them, but I still had the same experience of someone who might have heard it when it came out.
Fantastic. Mm. Brian, it's your turn. Yeah. Not that we're taking turns, but it's totally your turn.
All right, good. This was from Chris Gartner, MD.
Not someone I know.
At CS Gartner. So this will be a doctor that I go to if I have any medical issues.
You're looking for one.
Chris Gartner says, I have so many, very many experiences of this, but the first one I remember is the Beach Boys' Good Vibrations. And I got to say, hell to the yeah.
You know, that's a really interesting one because when people think of the Beach Boys, they think of, you know, the fun till the daddy takes a deeper way. They think of these little like 3 minute, you know, little tiny pop masterpieces. Mm-hmm. But Good Vibrations, maybe you're thinking of the maybe you're thinking of the melody of the chorus. That song goes deep. There's a lot going on that song. That's now we're in the late 60s and they're doing all kinds of shit on that cut.
And that's the thing is he never came back from that. So then he went to make his masterpiece, his record,
Smile,
to compete with Sgt. Pepper after this single Good Vibrations and could not get there.
Yeah.
Could not get there.
Right. That song broke him.
Yep.
Arguably that song and Sgt. Pepper.
Yeah, but that song, whew, yeah.
All right, and now that we're all broken like that, we're going to take a quick break. DBL, we'll be back right after this.
DBL.
DBL.
DBL is back.
DBL Special Edition.
Special Edition number 9, now with phlegm. All right, we're talking about mind blowers.
Mind blowing
Not
songs.
Nose blowers, mind blowers. It's a bunch of nose blowers talking mind blowers. Here we go.
Oh my goodness.
These are from our listeners on the Twitters telling us what songs blew their mind.
Yeah, you know what? I want to go with one. I mentioned this a little bit, very briefly, in our actual podcast, but Cable Was the Babysitter is the name of this person who posted. And there's an absolute truth to that.
Yeah.
And he or she or whoever is whoever Cable Was the Babysitter is said smells like Teen Spirit, and I gotta say that was distinctly a mind blower. I was a senior in high school. I just started high school. This would have been September of 91, and heard it on the radio. My friends and I were in the car, and we're like, "What the fuck is this?"
So many people, were hit that hard by that song. Including our listeners here.
Yeah, and if you're a senior in high school at the time, I can't even put into words how the world shifted almost immediately. It went from Hammer Time, Reagan Bush, almost immediately to Nirvana.
Yeah, and all of a sudden we were in a different world.
We were in a different world, and the world shifted around. I didn't change. I always liked weird movies and music. It just became less weird to like that shit.
Yeah.
Almost immediately. 100%. Almost overnight. And so that was a game changer across the board. That was one of those, what is this? Yeah.
André Dubuchet, my friend, the comedian André Dubuchet, also replied to this thread with that same entry. Yeah. Smells Like Teen Spirit just kind of hit him
it
hard,
just
too.
Just defined a whole decade immediately.
It's undeniable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who's next?
Sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to say Scott Michael at Runner Scott reminded me of a song that I haven't thought about in a long time, but it kind of blew my mind, too. And it's a Dire Straits song.
Yeah, that would be
Sultans of Swing.
Sultans of Swing. You know what? Dire Straits songs. That wasn't the one that I heard first. I think it was Skate Away on MTV that I heard first. But when you hear your first Dire Straits songs, there is that first sort of like, is this possible?
No,
that it's this smooth and that this rock and this, you know.
I didn't hear anything to Money for Nothing, but I had that similar feeling. I like this song because there's the character of Guitar George who knows all the chords. That's his whole.
Isn't that Guitar John? I thought it was Guitar John.
I think it's George.
Oh, might be.
Well. His sound, his guitar sound is so, and his playing is so unique. And just what you're saying, it's like, you're like, oh, this is smooth, this is mellow. And you're like, wait, what is he playing? What the hell?
And you know what, comparing it, because we just did Cloud Nine and we talked about Clapton, he has a sound that is smooth without sounding like you want to take a nap.
Yeah, right? there's no adult amazing. Contemporary layer to that.
It's pretty cool.
It's a wonderful thing. Thanks for bringing that one, Jeffy. And by the way, another listener did say Skate Away as theirs.
Oh, so interesting.
Yeah. Here's one. It's a twofer from Real M, who I don't know the Real M, but there's a really adorable little dog picture that Real M uses as his icon.
On the internet?
Yes, on the internet, believe it or not.
There's cute pictures of dogs on the internet?
He gives me two. Man, I'll show you guys. I'll show you guys a site later. he says... he has two. Been Caught Stealing, Jane's Addiction, or Philosophy, Ben Folds 5. Hmm. Now, I want to say, absolute same with Been Caught Stealing. I was familiar with Nothing Shocking when it came out, and mm-hmm. I liked it. Mm-hmm. Then all of a sudden, it might have been MTV or might have been just on the radio. I heard Been Caught Stealing, and I was floored by it. I love that song. Nothing sounds like that song.
I had that on my list, too, and that was about a year before Nirvana changed the world. But Been Caught Stealing, I remember thinking, I loved it. But I remember thinking, wow, they've gotten a little lighter from their first record, right? Which I thought was so crazy and unpredictable.
Yeah.
But loved it. Nothing sounded like it. Nothing seemed like it.
Yeah.
But it was catchy, and I didn't expect that from them.
And as for Ben Folds, I came late to the Ben Folds party, but I'm a huge fan. Philosophy wasn't the one that did it for me. It was during his solo album. I think he played Not the Same, which is a beautiful song, on Conan O'Brien's show. And it just floored me.
Wow.
Turned me into a Ben Folds fan who has now heard basically everything he's recorded.
He's great.
I have one from Krista Pennington at Hip to Be Squared, and she picked a song that I did not know anyone else in the world knew at the time when I was into it in the early 90s, and this was on the Bowie Hunky Dory album, and it's a song, Life on Mars, which is utterly a perfect song.
Yeah.
But I, as far as I knew, I was the only one at the time who knew it, and so I thought, like, oh, this is my little Bowie song, and then cut to later in the decade, it's like the second most popular Bowie song of all time. Everyone in England loves it.
I didn't know it when I was a kid. Because it's not on the album that everybody played, the compilation.
Well, it was never on a compilation.
Right.
But in England, it was a massive hit, and then that slowly started moving its way over here.
So for me, it was not until I saw Wes Anderson's The Life Aquatic with Steve Zissou.
Okay.
And at one of the most emotional parts, you know, that whole album, he found this, I think, Brazilian musician named Sue George, I'm going to say,
right,
to record Portuguese versions of all these Bowie songs acoustically. Mm-hmm. But there's one place in the movie where he actually goes to the original recording, and that's Life on Mars when Bill Murray finds out Owen Wilson is his son. Goes walk into the prow of the boat, gets super high, and that song plays.
Mm. Wow.
It hit me like a brick.
Oh, it's an outstanding song. Time has made it one of his all-time greats. But yeah, trust me, in 1992, if you want to feel disconnected from everyone around you, make that one of your favorite songs.
Because nobody knows it, right?
No one knew it. Yeah.
I've got it in my head right now. Like, that's an earworm. It's an awful small affair.
Yeah. Yep.
Speaking of
the girl with the mousy hair.
Speaking of 1992, West Coast Ben at PDXBK says, so many to choose from, but Killing in the Name.
That
sent
was
me down a 6-month all Rage Against the Machine all the time rabbit hole. God damn, you're right.
Oh,
West Coast
absolutely.
Ben.
I agree with that. And that was one, still to this day, I'm still figuring out how those guitar sounds are made. Do you know what I mean? It's still one of those, what is this?
And
how
it's one of those
done?
Examples of how you bring unlimited amounts of energy onto a recording. Like that, that song is propulsive.
Yeah.
No, they were doing it on, at some point, maybe it was actually Audioslave, but they were covering it on Hollywood Boulevard when I lived down there for Jimmy Kimmel, and the whole fucking street was just chanting and getting into it, and I thought, wow, I've never seen this. It was just the city. Hollywood's pretty exciting to me most of the time. That was one of the highlights of it. They played outside in the street. It fucking killed.
That's awesome.
Jeffrey?
Steve E.
I was about to bring this one up! I love you, man. Go.
At SHW Online brings in
Brace yourself, Kevin.
Classic. And, you know, I feel like I could, introduce this, but it's No Thugs in Our House by XTC from, I believe, English Settlement. Correct me.
Kevin just
wrong.
Had a small seizure, a petit mal right there.
I fell asleep. I'm sorry. Were you saying something?
I think it's a grand mal. But
No Thugs in Our House is a fantastic song. And, you know,
what band is this?
XTC.
That's not a real band.
Not ringing a bell.
Making this up.
Not ringing a bell.
Yeah.
That song.
What? Is that the band that beat Emmett Otter's band?
Oh, no, that's the River Bottom Nightmare band.
Oh, yeah, they were a good band. But that was a good band.
Yeah, you know who was that band in real life?
What's his name? The guy.
Styx.
XTC. Yeah, right. Rolling on. Anybody got other ones they wanted? There's a couple others I just want to. I can't even read everybody's names. I just want to say that these are a real picture started to emerge as we were reading all these. It's about these unique voices and unique sounds. It's all about production, musicianship or just the sound of a human voice. Nothing Compares to You was mentioned by a couple of people, and that deserves to be heard. Joe Mikowski says Seven Nation Army. I thought that was a pretty obvious
one.
No,
I was wondering what what White Stripes was going to be the song.
Yeah.
Because I love Blue Orchid. That's the one to me that was like, oh, shit.
I was already a fan by the time I heard Blue Orchid, but that song hits hard.
I like them, but Blue Orchid came on, and I didn't even recognize it was them. I was like, what band is this? I got to figure out what this fucking band is. This is awesome. And then
they slap.
That riff, that's my favorite song of theirs, but the same thing. One thing I noticed on this list, like you were saying, there's distinct voices. Part of it is just time. You know, you can kind of gauge when people were getting into music.
How old people are.
Exactly. Time.
Because it is interesting, because I definitely hear things now, I'm like, that's amazing, I should get into that, and then I won't get into it because I have other shit to do. Do you know, like, I intellectually feel like I should know that.
You don't have the attention span to actually track music you might love.
Right, even the emotional space to be like, I want this to change my life today. But when you're like 13, you're like, I want this to change my life. I want to listen to this album and be a different person.
Someone told me once, expectation is planned resentment. And it sounds like if you're trying to change your life and that's your goal, you're just going to be sad all the time.
I don't think that. I think when you're 12 and you want to change your life with a record, you might actually change your life with a record.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm listening to your voice now, Kevin.
Oh! You mean now? No! I would never put a record on saying I hope this changes my life.
He doesn't want to change his life.
That was my point.
So that's exactly the point he said.
Wow! I went off on a whole tangent there. Just wow. Sorry.
Yeah. No, that was focused.
Anybody want to bring us home with any, or are we done?
We are done.
All right. Yeah. Well, I will throw one more out then. Jason Duplicia. I'm trying to find our end credits anyway. Jason Duplicia said Rise by Public Image Limited. And you know what, Pill? Yeah, that song hits hard.
Oh, that's
that one
good.
Hit me hard at the time. All right, send your questions, comments, and your own cover band experiences to dadbandland@gmail.com. Follow us on all them socials. Dad Bandland is produced by me and by Jeffy Brannion. Editing and Starburns production by Kyle McGraw. Thank you to everybody. Our theme song is by Adam Korn. And all the content on this episode was by you guys.
Yeah, great work.
Thanks so much, everybody. This has been DBL Special Ep.
Special Edition.
Nine.
Wait, do we know?
Number nine. Now we do. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Starburns Audio, a podcast network.